Welcome back to the Halfway There podcast. Another great episode to meet and to hang out, to talk together. Brian, how are we doing?
We're doing good. We're ready to dive into the covenant of Noah today.
Yeah, actually, I saw a rainbow the other day, and it was quite the reminder of God's grace and mercy. It was a couple nights ago. It was like right over. Usually when the rainbows are here at the church, they're right over our neighbor's property. And it's like almost touching the barn. I'm like, man, if I go to that barn,
it's gold.
Yeah. I get the leprechaun.
Let's go right now. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after we find the rainbow. So we get to talk about the covenant of Noah. Last week we talked about the covenant of Adam. Next week we talk about the covenant of Abraham. But this week we talk about the covenant of Noah. And Noah is an interesting covenant because it comes after a flood, but you begin to see the nuggets of the covenant before the flood, and especially in the faithfulness that Noah portrays after he's warned about what's to come. So give me a rundown of how you would define or how you would summarize Noah's covenant.
Well, for one, these people had never experienced rain, right? So Noah had a lot of faith. Think about it.
Yeah.
He's saying it's going to rain, and Noah's like, what? You know, the ground, the water come up from the ground. So it took a lot of faith. And I love that about Noah is his faith was bigger than a mustard seed. That's all I got to say. I mean, to do what he did on just the faith that he had for God is just amazing, you know. But I personally like this one because I'm having hamburgers tonight. So I'd have been, vegetarian before. Now we're getting into the little, we can eat some animals.
We can eat animals. This was the covenant that post-covenant was able to eat animals to prior to this, that was not a part of the covenant. So, this is an interesting one, right? We talked last time about the covenant, the promise, the sign, the high and holy place. So we got a lot to dive into before our conversation ends. But this is what we would consider the preservation covenant. And so God preserves. So the first covenant is the covenant of creation. This is the preservation covenant, which means that God preserved his creation through Noah and the animals that were on the ark. So preservation is like sustaining for support later, for teaching, or for those kind of different things. So God preserves creation through Noah, right? Which doesn't make sense because you're like, wait, I thought God flooded the earth, but he does, but he preserves. So he doesn't have to like remake the whole thing. Right. He has this kind of preservation through Noah. So that's why it's called a preservation covenant. And that's what it's centered on, is this idea that, as Adam was given authority over the earth, you know, that authority was made less when Noah came off the ark. He was essentially given the same words that Adam was given, with a few more extenders to it. But in all of that, while the floods raged and people perished and things perished, God gave Noah peace and protection that he had promised for his people for all eternity. And so he was protected through his faithfulness. So that's where we start, is this idea of preservation. So what stands out to you about that?
It's just that he loved us so much. You know, there was chaos in the world, right? So he had to do something. Well, I think he really didn't want to, but he had to, right? And it just shows how much he does care for us and his creation by saying, all right, I'm going to wipe this out. And that could be a whole nother podcast of he done this. But he loved creation, what he created between us and everything, so much that he's like, I'm going to save it. I'm not going to redo it because I done it perfect the first time. Yeah. So he saves all this and puts everything on a boat that he, structurally engineered, because if you read, I mean, it's dimensions, this, that, and everything. And like I was telling you before we had started, the really cool thing about this is he sealed them in there. Mm-hmm. The seal of God protected them through the whole thing. And I was reading about it a while back, the door was 25,000 pounds. It had to be sealed from the outside. So God had his hand in this into protecting his creation.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I love it because he's like, I love y'all so much. I'm going to give you this. I am promising you, I will never do this again. And then you can have all this stuff too. Yeah. And I think that's so beautiful that it shows the love he has for us mm-hmm. in this whole covenant right mm-hmm. here.
Yeah. I love what Hebrews says about it. Hebrews 11:7 is kind of the highlight, the hall of faith, right? Like this is where we get the testimonies of all the people who are faithful to God and how God's been faithful to them. But it says, by faith, Noah condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. And so Noah really, I mean, he could have stayed back. He could have ignored God. He could have said, no, I'm going to lose my friends. I'm going to lose my property. I'm going to lose all these things. And yet he faithfully said, no, the world doesn't have anything for me. God has stuff for me. And right. that was, you know, the first testimony of faithfulness unto the Lord. And I think that is just such a good reminder that he became the heir of righteousness, H-E-I-R, right? So right. He sat on the throne of being righteous through faith, which I think is just incredible. It's kind of the first moment that we have of not only God's faithfulness to provide what you had talking about, the protection, the place, the ark, but also Noah's faithfulness and obedience to trust God's hand in all that, right? Like he provided the wood, which I know, you know, we've had some conversation of like, go for wood. That's nowhere else in the whole scripture. So obviously that's a testimony to God's, you know, provision. So I think that's my favorite part of this whole story is that God provided and Noah acted in faith.
Right. And, you know, people came by, thought he was crazy because of his faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think about it today, is that what happens to us now?
Oh, yeah.
When we have that faith in God, people will say, you're crazy.
That's you crazy know, faith or whatever, right?
Yeah, you know,
why would you do that? You got to control your own narrative.
So. Right. So.
Yeah. And the promise, right? So the covenant was preservation. The promise was never destroy the earth again. God made certain that calamity he brought would not happen again. You know, I clarify that this doesn't mean like localized natural disasters won't happen. We know that because they happen continuously. In fact, I would even argue that like we can't track it back, but I'm sure hurricanes, tornadoes, thunderstorms, all of those things, drought, we know droughts happen, famine, all of that happens. But those localized things happen, but a worldwide disaster doesn't happen again because God wants his redemptive plan to come about and he's going to allow his redemptive plan to come about, right?
And you hear about, you know, the asteroids are going to mm-hmm. hit or, you know, the earth and destroy it and all. I don't believe that at all mm-hmm. because right here it says that that will never happen. And God is not, he's true. You know, it's truth. So, you know, when you hear, well, doomsday or this or that, I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
You know, God will come back before this earth is destroyed mm-hmm. by something somebody else says. Because if you think about it, there's people been thousands of years. Hey, on this date, the earth is going to be destroyed. It never has. Right. So don't ever believe that type stuff. Man's, you know, saying, oh, the earth is going to be destroyed. God is protecting it through this covenant.
Yeah.
And he's still today. I mean, we see rainbows yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so his promise still stands today.
Jeremiah 31, what we talked about in week one, talks about kind of the snarkiness of God in terms of saying like, oh, what would happen if the seasons and the stars, like if these people are no longer my people, here's what the seasons and the stars will do, you know. But the reality is like God holds the seasons and he holds the stars and he holds the weather and all of that. And he cements that promise to Noah, right? That's right. What you were just saying is that promise was there and the sign was there, the rainbow, which is translated to war bow, which is an interesting, it's not a rainbow. We call it a rainbow because it's associated with storms and rain and all right. of that. But in Hebrew, it's a war bow. And a pastor and theologian named Sinclair Ferguson shared that the word used in the book of Genesis is not rainbow. It's war bow, the bow of war, the bow of battle, which is a picture of God after hostility established a new creation, flinging his bow of judgment into the skies as reassurance. And so every time we see a rainbow, it should be a reminder to us that God is holding back what he could give.
Right.
You know, and in faithfulness, he's providing salvation before anything else. So it shouldn't just be, oh, look at that pretty rainbow. It should be like, man, God is holding back all that he could give us and all that he righteously could give us. So it should be a reminder to us that God is patient and kind.
Right.
And not just like, oh, look at how good God's creation is. Like, God's patient. He's waiting.
It's not just a pretty thing that God's put up there. It's a symbol.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, there's a whole lot more meaning to it than, hey, look at those pretty colors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I loved about Noah and the story of Noah is how much parallel there is between him and Adam. You know, we have a lot of conversation in Genesis 8 where he says, you know, bring out all the living creatures, spread over the earth, be fruitful and multiply, which is the same thing that he told Adam, be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over that. But also one of the things we highlight is that Noah built an altar to the Lord. Like, Noah not only through his actions recognized God's faithfulness, but thanked God for his faithfulness through an altar. And it says the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and says, I will never curse the ground. So the rainbow doesn't come right after the storm. It actually comes after Noah builds this altar to honor God's faithfulness to him. And then he shows the rainbow.
It's amazing to me. He's been locked up in this boat, right? Mm-hmm. With these animals and everything. And in my mind, I think, man, I'd be going crazy. But his faith kept him probably calm. I mean, there, you know, we don't know what happened on the boat, but it's just amazing that after he got off this boat 40 days, mm-hmm. he built an altar and thanked God.
Yeah.
So his faith had to have been so big, like I said before, just so big that he's like, God, you told me it was going to rain. It rained. I'm yours.
Yeah.
He knew how true God was mm-hmm. to what he promised.
Mm-hmm. And we, you know, the holy place that we see, the high place that Noah ends up is a place called Ararat. And I share a really neat thing that happened in this month of 2021, 4,369 years after Noah likely got off the ark. Was archaeologists actually discovered what is widely believed to be the ark. Even though the Lord said, hey, no one would ever discover this, obviously, I think he knew that people would eventually, you know, right. find it, or he arranged for people to find it.
I think that's it.
But they discover these formations on this mountain that is considered to be historically Ararat. And they're like, this matches the dimensions of scripture. So not only do you need proof? No, but we have substantive proof that this story happened. Or else some guy was just silly building a massive ark.
And buried it under the ground. And in that same documentary, did you see where there was no growth rings in the gopher wood?
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
This isn't a trees that were cut down by Bunyan's axe or something. Right.
Did God provide that wood for him?
Yeah.
You know, in that area at the time. And also, they think that they discovered the altar. You know, I've seen pictures of it, you know, that he actually built and stuff in that area.
The one where the pleasing aroma. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think God just like, okay, I'm going to show him a little bit here. You know, it's just kind of like,
The testimony of the Lord.
I don't have to prove myself, but hey, let me just give him that little sign. Kind of like the sign of the rainbow he gave us. Yeah. He could give us, hey, we'll let him find the ark. We'll let him find that. And, you know, just put a little more faith in there.
Yeah. I love that, though. It's such a neat story. And you know, Moses is the one who wrote Genesis. So he's saying, hey, this is where, you know, this is where it ended up. And lo and behold, exactly where it ended up is where it is. So I love that. What do you have? What are some thoughts that you have from Noah?
And, you know, I was thinking about this, too, as I was just imagining, you know, going through what he did. This rainbow, the promises and all that isn't just for the believers. It's for all of us, unbelievers, believers. And it just shows the grace and mercy God has for his people, you know, not just his followers or the people that, you know, put their faith in him. It's for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I just love that it's hard for us to understand all that because, you know, you around people that you don't like or may not like, but God loves us all. God, you know, this is the rainbow and everything is for everyone, every one of his creations.
Yeah. So I love that. And the covenant, right, is a reminder to us that God provided another way. And one of the things that I made in my first conversation that we talked about was like, God doesn't change his promise. He just provides a new way. And this is an example to us that God does provide another way, right? Like, God provides Noah with a redemptive promise that he would multiply the earth, that he would rule the earth, that the creation order would be restored. God binds himself to an oath with Noah through the rainbow. And so we see this kind of all these covenantal things begin to happen. And not necessarily like specifications that, hey, out of your line, you're going to have Jesus like others get. But we do see later in Jesus's lineage, Noah's listed, right? Because that's rooted back to who he is. And Psalm 127, 7 and 8 say that the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. And I think that's just a great reminder that God is the one who brings protection. And God is the one who brings about his promises to be true.
And one really nice thing about this covenant is it doesn't require anything from us.
Yeah.
You know, God is promising all of this to us without us having to do anything.
Yeah. And we're not living in this covenant, but we still get the covenantal sign. Right.
Right.
And that, I think, is because it's a reminder to us that God's faithful.
Right. Correct.
Now, we know that Noah and his family did not perfectly or lived out this covenant. And we know that there's more covenants that follow after this. And so I think one of the things that we begin to see in that Noah not living out, his family not living out this covenant perfect, was God begins to not shift his redemptive focus, but begins to focus elsewhere, right? And we go from a covenant that was one person to a covenant that's focused on people. And through a line of one person, but we begin to see clarity that it is not just going to be Noah and his family. It's going to be somebody else. It's going to be focused more on this idea of redemption, on this idea of coming back to God, because none of these people live it perfectly until Jesus.
Do you think that he didn't do any requirements on this because he knew we couldn't do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think part of it was less of a, hey, do this, this, and this, and more of a like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Right. And so I think it's uniquely covenantal in the sense that instead of putting expectations on humanity, he's focused more on like what he's going to do, what he's going to regard himself as God.
Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, I was talking earlier about it. He loved his creation so much. Mm-hmm. You know, he keeps giving to us.
Yeah. Right?
And for me to think about it in my little mind is it probably hurt him. You know, it probably hurt him to wipe out his creation. And it may have hurt him so much that he's like, okay, I can't do this. You know, I can't expect them to be perfect, you know, the way he wants us to be. Because we're sin at this time has got into our flesh, but maybe he just done it out of just love. Hey,
yeah,
I'm just going to love on them. Maybe they will turn to me, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think, you know, that is the case. But I also think that we see multiple times where God gives people over to their sinful desires. And that means right. that they are then stuck into slavery of another country, or that they're, you know, like, they experience God turns their back on them. Right. But it's not through a worldwide disaster.
Right.
It's more through
destroying everything. Yeah. Created again.
And it, you know, I still think that you're probably onto something, that God still believed humanity was his greatest creation, even after sin. But he began to see how broken this world was. And, you know, I wonder, I don't know, maybe the brokenness that we experience in our world is just as bad. And God just promised not to eliminate it through flooding. Or was it worse between Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 8? I don't know.
Right.
What do you think? Do you think that was worse? That was the worst of worst? Or do you think like, hey, we're still living, it was probably the same kind of effects of sin?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything shocks God.
Yeah.
But on our level, It was bad. I don't think today is bad, right? Yeah. But I don't think it's as bad as we that see time. Through scripture, yeah. right? Yeah. So I think it's bad altogether, but I don't think these people were worse than these people mm-hmm. than worse than these people, you know. I don't know. It's hard to comprehend what God thinks, yeah. or, you know,
yeah.
of why he does things and stuff. And that's just where faith comes in, mm-hmm. you know, have faith in him that he knows best for us. What happens, you know, is we should all turn, you know, it to the glory of him. So, yeah. you know, it's hard to think in that aspect of why he, you know, if I was God, I'd be like, I'm destroying the earth now.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad yeah. enough, yeah. but there's a reason why he chose to say, I will never do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and I don't think scripture really tells us exactly why he won't ever do that again. One day we will know all yeah. right. But there's something there. There's, you know, and like I said before, I don't know if it's that he hated to see his creation that he had to destroy the way it came. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's
interesting to me. Part of that is like, also it's interesting to me how quickly Noah got drunk and, you know, left the promise yeah. that God right. had given him. Right. And essentially wasn't as faithful as he was earlier, you know, how quickly human sinfulness comes in even after like, what should be like, oh, I'm going to commit to live to my every day. And it's like, yeah.
Right. I mean, look at the faith he had. Yeah. He's building a boat in a desert, mm-hmm. right? No rain's ever been. The water comes up out of the ground and God tells him to do this. And he has that kind of faith. And then he turns around after God saves him for 40 days.
yeah.
He gets depressed. So that just shows you. You know, that happens in everyday life
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You know, we are not perfect. We can have the faith, but sometimes we fall.
Yeah.
You know,
and thank the Lord that he is more faithful than to us than we are to him. And that is a huge blessing. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the covenant of Noah. It's just a reminder to us that God preserves. It's a reminder to us that he will preserve and even preserves his people through Jesus. But we're called to trust him. We're called to walk in obedience and respond with worship. That's all that Noah did, but Noah was imperfect too. And I think, you know, we have to understand, like, we're not called to perfection. We're called to obedience. We're called to faithfulness. So that's what I think, you know, about Noah. Any other thoughts on Noah?
All I say is study it.
Yeah.
Open your Bibles up wherever you're at, whenever you have time, or just make the time. Let me just say that. Make the time, open your Bibles up and read and study. You know, we have our opinions. Other people have their opinions. I'm not saying I'm right. Mm-hmm. I would love to debate anybody else. You know, I love that yeah. dialect because you feed off each other. You mm-hmm. know, there's some things that you may say that I've never really thought, or I may, you know, vice versa.
And by the way, Brian doesn't agree with me on everything. Just, right. you know, just for the record.
We don't. We may make a podcast on something like that one day.
But we'll have to do some of those we don't agree on.
But, you know, it's just one of them things, yeah. you know.
It's scripture. We believe that it's scripture. We believe that it's God's word. And we believe right. that it has all the authority in the world. So that's all you really need to believe to have some conversations. But
it's just open your Bible, yeah. read, study. It's just an amazing book.
Yeah.
I mean, the more I dig into it, the more I'm like, huh? You know, but I just love it. It's fun.
Well, thanks. So. Thanks again for listening. And Brian and I are just grateful for you guys always tuning in every week. And we're grateful to have these conversations. It's been a fun part of our kind of weekly rhythms over the last months. And we're going to continue on with Abraham here. And that's going to be a fun one.
Oh, yes, it is. I like the cutting and the walking through.
Yeah, you got a lot of things right here you're bringing to the table. Maybe I'll let you host that one. Well, thanks for listening to the Halfway There podcast. I'm Nick for Brian. We appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you on the next episode.